We're going to be talking about relief. The relief that the body of Christ churches in the dispensation of the gospel gave to Israel's Church of God in Jerusalem that had sold all to bring in the kingdom, and the kingdom didn't come in because Israel fell. And so we're going to go through some verses and look for two things. Look for that relief that shows up in 10 or 11 different places, actually. And the second thing is to look for leadership. What the Bible says about leadership in the body of Christ, in the churches that are planted, the body of Christ churches, not specifically the overall universal church, if you want to call it that. It's not a scriptural term, but the local assemblies, okay, put it that way. So those two things, relief and the leaders. How do we know who our leaders are? And in referencing leadership within the body of Christ churches, we need to rid our minds of preconceived ideas that we may have from tradition, from being told things when we were younger, or maybe not when we were younger, when we were older, things from our parents or our pastors or whatever. We need to recognize that that may not be the whole truth. The Bible does have the whole truth, and let's not cloud it with our memories of what people told us or our concept when we see all those pretty candles burning or we see the table up in the front with glasses and trays of bread and stuff on it. Let's just see what the scripture says, okay? And the scripture tells us some things, and it leaves other things untold, unsaid, untaught, things that we think should be in there because of these traditions that have been handed down. But they're not there. So we need to not just say, well, it's okay to add that in. And we also must identify the verses, which verses are actually talking about leadership in the churches, and not ministering or serving or not just a position or an office, but actually leading the people in the assemblies. We'll get more about the biblical church leadership later on after we've cleared up some thoughts about relief and aid. But here we only want to identify three of the main sources of church leadership. And the information comes from Paul's epistles. Let's look, if we could, at, and I think I can post these. That's in the way. Hold on. Looking for Philippians 3:17. One of my favorite verses on leadership, but by far not the only one. Brethren, be followers together of me. That's Paul speaking. And mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. Not just Paul, but those also which walk following after Paul. So they would be, that's one way to gauge who is your leader. Who's leader leading in the assembly? Are they walking like Paul? Are they following the traditions that Paul set up and teaching the word that Paul wrote? So let's go on to the second of the three. 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 7. 1 Thessalonians 1, 7. Did I get it? Yeah, I got it. Post. So that ye were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. So, and it goes through what they did. That's how they turned from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for him from heaven. That whole passage there, practically the whole first, at least from verse 5 to verse 10 in that first chapter. Now going on to the fifth chapter in 1 Thessalonians, look at verses 12 and 13. These also are key verses. And it says, "And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves." I like that at the end there. You know, you may outwardly give honor to certain people or give I was going to say preference, but that doesn't say what I'm trying to say. But you what they say, you don't argue with too much. You know, you take it as something to be learned from, because they're saying something that's from the Bible or from Paul in the Bible. But afterwards, you know, you may say, that guy always talks. Here it says, and be at peace among yourselves. In other words, really mean it, I think is what it's saying. Don't be one way at one time and another way at the other time. It would cause disturbance. So, let's start with the information Paul has provided about the early body of Christ churches and their relief or their aid to the Church of God in Jerusalem. First of all, let's list them. I've got 11 of them listed here, and we should look in. This is going to take longer than I had hoped, but I think we need to actually read the verses. If there's somebody that can post them, it'll help. It'll speed things up. Acts 11:27-30. And then there's one verse at the end of 12, verse 25. But Acts 11:27-30, I'll go ahead and start. And if somebody can pitch in, go ahead and I'll stop. Let's see. This is Acts 11, starting with 27. And going to 30. So it says, "In these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch." Then the disciples, skipped a couple verses there, I think, or one anyway. Let's go to 28. "And there stood up one of them named Agabus." And we find Agabus shows up later. The Lord used him late in, when Paul was going back to Jerusalem for the last time, when he was going to be captured and imprisoned. He shows up, but there stood up one named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Verse 29, and let's see, and then 30. We're up to 30. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea. Now, it doesn't say that, you know, that the Spirit led each of them to do that. It doesn't say the Spirit didn't lead them either. But that's kind of the trend as you read through these other events, that that God was behind it and involving them. Acts 11:30. So that would be, here we go, got it. "Which also they did, and sent it to the elders." Notice the elders there. "Sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul." Barnabas comes first. Saul is the name he's using. And But what I want us to see is that at that time, there was already, it was not just the apostles that were leading the church of God in Jerusalem, the little flock there, they had designated seven elders, seven table servers, I guess. To serve is the basic meaning of diakonos in Greek, which means a deacon, really. They weren't called deacons, though. But that was in Acts 6. Here we are in Acts 11, and like in Acts 15, they're called the apostles and elders. It was being run by apostles and elders. There was a change that was occurring in that church as it aged, they hadn't gotten to the point yet where they had pledged not to add, but just to minister to those that were in the true circumcision already. That was in Acts 15, Galatians 2:9, it says it, from the Acts 15 meeting. So, that's the first event. The body of Christ, it's their first action, determined to send relief as their first thing that came up on them, came to them from, I'm sure the timing, God had something to do with the timing and the dearth, worldwide dearth, and the Agabus, the prophets that came up from Jerusalem. Now let's look at the second one, Acts 14, verses 21 through 23, Acts 14, and that says, I'm just going to read it out of this, and when they had preached, did I get it right? 21 to 23, yeah, and when they had preached the gospel to that city, and had taught many, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium. Verse 22, and it says, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter the kingdom of God. And then verse 23 says, and when they had ordained them elders in every city and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. So there's, we'll find out later, these elders, you know, check what you're thinking. Elders, it was for the purpose of the what had already come up, the sending of funds to the church in Jerusalem. God had Paul plan ahead and ordain elders in every church, so there would be the framework in place when he came around and challenged them to give money, collect money for the church in Jerusalem. Let's go to Galatians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. This will be the third in the series. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. Only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I also was forward to do. So there's a... It's not ignored. It's part of the main stuff that's going on there, in their thinking and in their conditions that they pledged. Paul pledged to go to the heathen, and the apostles in the church of God in Jerusalem, the little flock church there, kingdom church, if you want to call it that, they had pledged to go to the circumcision, which was meeting with them already. And yet, included in that was that the Church of God, Church, Body of Christ churches, remember the poor. The poor would be the obvious poor that they had already sent money to, and at Antioch anyway. All right, let's go to 1 Thessalonians 5:14. This is another reference to it, 5:14. And I just want to kind of hit these so we see how prevalent it is through Paul's epistles. 1 Thessalonians 5:14. Now we exhort you, brethren, and warn them that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded. Support. I think I messed that up, didn't I? Let me start over. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak. Be patient toward all men. Who are the weaker brothers? They were those Jews meeting in Paul's meetings before they got separated out and someone to teach them from either Philip coming up to them or the other one that went one time in the scriptures was Barnabas, was sent by the apostles. And then when Philip went, they followed it up with Peter and John going and authorizing that church there in that was in Samaria. Next would be 1 Corinthians 16, 1 through 4. Oh, that was support the weak. Support the weak in 1 Thessalonians 5:14. In 1 Corinthians 16, 1 through 4, we see 1 Corinthians 16. I'll be there in a minute. Now, concerning the collection for the saints, it's pretty obvious there, the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Verse 2, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. And when I come, whomsoever you shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem. If there was any doubt, there it is. It's in the city of Jerusalem, the church there that they have to send because of their lack of funds to eat with, to buy food with. And then going on to verse 4, and if it be meet, if it works out this way, that I go also, they shall go with me. In other words, they have the authority unless I go, and then I'll have the authority, Paul is saying. Verse 13 through 18, we'll see some more about that. And it says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong, let all your things be done with charity. I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. There it is, the ministry of the saints. Serving, like, if you look up the word ministry, it's like serving tables of the saints, and that's a reference to the saints in Jerusalem there. So that's 15:16, verse 16, 1 Corinthians 16:16, that you submit yourselves unto such, and to everyone that helpeth with us, and laboreth. Now it's not talking about leadership in general, following a leader, it's talking about that you also give, as they've addicted themselves to giving to the poor, ministering to the poor. And I'm glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus, for that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. So, again, talking about the money needed. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours, therefore acknowledge ye them that are such, people that are like that, that are givers. All right, let's go on to 2 Corinthians, and there's a bunch of speckled, let's just read them. They're separate verses, I guess I should say. 2 Corinthians 8, we'll start with 4 and then go to 9:1. Praying us with much entreaty, is that right? Yeah, with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And if you read before that, they collected the money there in Corinth and they were praying, begging Paul to take it to Jerusalem, to the saints. Get down to chapter 9, verse 1. For as touching the ministering of the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you. Let's see, go down to verse 10. And he says, now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Verse 12, for the ministration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints. And remember that when we get into Titus there, Titus, first chapter of Titus, the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. And first Timothy 3, too, when we get there. So let's go to verse 13. Whiles the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution unto them and to all men. So he's talking about ministering to the saints. This service supplieth the want of the saints, liberal distribution. All right, let's go on to Romans. I'm going chronologically here, not according to the order in Scripture, but according as time passed. Here we are in Romans 12, verse 13. 12:13. As I recall, this is just a brief one. Distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. And then in chapter 15, verses 25 to 27. And, let's see, 25, still changing. But now I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints. And for it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. Verse 27, it hath pleased them verily. And their debtors they are, for if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, Scripture is the main thing that, I mean, by the Romans 3:2, we benefit from the oracles of God coming to us through Israelites that wrote down the Scriptures, all 66 books. For if the Gentiles have been made partners of their spiritual things, their duty, and here he calls it a duty. See, it's getting close to a command, but it's not. Their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things, or earthly things having to do with their bodies, eating. I don't know if I would call it an ordinance. The impression I get from the way he put it is that it's like, I think, in, let me look up this other verse here. It's Ephesians 2. This is not even working. Hold on. Ephesians 2:10. And for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God before hath ordained that we should walk in them. Not you must or you're not saved, but we should. It's after being saved, we should walk in good works. Well, I get the same sense here that their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. It's a strong statement by Paul, but it's not not to the point of being an order, I would say. Thank you for posting that. There are a couple more. So in those that passage there, minister unto the saints, a certain contribution for the poor saints, their debtors they are. Their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. Three more incidents here, three more events of giving listed. We're up through 8. This is the 9th. Acts 20, verse 17. Actually, 17 just tells who it is. So it's verse 28 and then 33 through 35. Acts 20, 28. And let me just read Acts 20, 17. I hate it when the computer goes into slow gear. But I guess we're not in a race. 17. Okay. So this is after Acts 20, verse 6. He has received his sending to all people. There's no... from this point on, there's no... What would you call it? Duplicity? No... double thinking about that event, that item, that, what do you call it, that doctrine or the teaching that Paul was sent in a dispensation of the gospel before he was sent to all people in the dispensation of the grace of God. But so we see here in Acts 20 verse 6, he was sent out here, he's gone to Troas, and now he goes from Miletus, he's grounded, docked at Miletus, and he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. So here are some of those elders that he had appointed in Acts 14, prepared for this. And if we look down in 28, there we go. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock. The flock is always Israel. Paul never calls us a flock. And to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. And there is the job description of those elders that we see in Acts 20, verse 17. Called the elders down and said, the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Well, the church of God died out of attrition. So where is the definition of what an elder does that fits that category? You could possibly bend it or extend it, extrapolate it to say it would be these, I forget the term now, but the deacons, deacon fund for destitute people that are in your church. But that's not really it, because the destitute people in our church, in the church, are not that way because they brought in the kingdom, or would have brought it in. You know, they had gone, given everything to the apostles, and the apostles would give it out as needed, as thriftily as possible, but it had run out still and all because Israel had fallen. They had blasphemed the Holy Ghost, spoken against the Holy Ghost at least. Matthew 12:31. Spoken against the Holy Ghost. Elders these days are just elder members. There's that thought from 1 Peter, 3 or 5? Anyway, did we read? Let's go down to verse 33, Acts 20, verse 33, 34, and 35. And we'll read those, Acts 33. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, you yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities, and to them that were with me. I have showed you in all things how that, so laboring, you ought to, here it is, support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And those words would be in red, if that's what you're looking for. Red print there, red ink. It is more blessed to give than receive, even though it was, decades after he said it. All right, well, that's the ninth. The tenth time it happened would be 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8, and it's quite a reading there through 3:16. We don't really have to take the time. We're not studying now. We're overviewing what the events were. But he mentions a good work. He mentions take care of the church of God. And he mentions how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the church of God. He calls it the living God, church of the living God. But it's the church of God with an adjective in there. So let me just scan through if I can and see. That's 1 Timothy 2:8, 9, 10, 3:1. Okay, this is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop. Now, what is a bishop? What does the Bible say a bishop is? Is he guys a guy that wears a fish hat? Or robes with a key, with a big cross bouncing on his chest? No, it's what we just read there in Acts 20, verse 28. It's right on the screen still. It says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which, here it is, the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God. The function of an elder was to feed that starving church of God in Jerusalem that had good reason to be starving. And that's the definition. There's no other definition that I could find. There's one, not ambiguous, non-specific or vague, you might call it, 1 Timothy 5, and I didn't have that in the list here, but I think it's 5:17. Let me just look here. Let the elders that rule well. What do you mean by ruling well? Rule the congregation? No. That's the Roman idea, yeah. But they rule well at what they're to do. They're to oversee the collection, transporting, and doling out of the funds to the apostles and elders at the Church of God in Jerusalem. They're the overseers. We'll see. We didn't see it yet, but we'll see it in this 11th event here, that an overseer or bishop is an elder. It says, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor. What's the first honor? It goes on. The double honor is especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. That's the double part. What's the single part? What are they to do honorably? They're to collect the funds, carry it to Jerusalem, and give it. Make sure it gets to the elders and apostles so that they can buy the food to keep the people alive. That's how they rule. They rule in protecting it, defending it from thieves, taking it on the boat or ship to get over there. That's how they rule. They are to be counted worthy of double honor if they also do some studying in the word, labor in the word, and in doctrine, or preach it, or if they're not just like, what were their names? Andronicus and Junia, I think it was, that were of the circumcision, but they helped with things that were not doctrine related, menial things. Like we've said before, the luggage, keeping the luggage together, transporting it, getting the tickets on the boat, protecting Paul. There were people, everyone was against him at one point at least. All right, the last one. in this list, and then we've got some notes to go. I hope we can extend it a little bit tonight. Titus 1, verses 5 and 7. Titus 1, verses 5 and verse 7. So we need 7 up there. I'll read 5. For this cause I left thee in Crete. So Paul is talking to Titus, and he says he left him in Crete. And as I recall, that's an island out in the Mediterranean. For this cause I left thee in Crete, that thou shouldst set in order the things that are wanting. Who was wanting something? That was the church of God in Jerusalem. They were hungry. Set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders. What do elders have to do? Transporting the funds to Jerusalem. Ordain elders in every city. There in Crete, in other words, is understood. That's why he was left in Crete. Ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. So, and then we come down to verse 7. For a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God. So what's a bishop? He's an overseer, right? He oversees the funds. He's a steward of God. Not just God's doctrine or God's word. He's a steward, as we've seen in every other place. It's to get the food to the starving believers there in Jerusalem. Israeli believers, you know, they started in Israel's program, but it failed. The leadership of Israel and the majority were against Christ being their king. I should say Jesus being their Christ. They were against that. And in Acts 7, at the end of the chapter, you can see the fall of Israel. And right after that, in Acts 9, Christ saves Paul, unsavable, unforgivable in Israel's program. But he starts a new pattern, the pattern by which we're saved. We're not saved by doing righteousness and fearing God, like Peter said Cornelius had to do. That's all Israel's, and that all faded out, or the Bible word is diminished, after Israel fell there in Acts 7. And until at the end of Acts, they're not... They don't get any special treatment. They had elevated treatment, but they could then and still can come to God just like we can, like Gentiles can, by believing that I'm a sinner and I can't do anything about it. I can't save myself. I have to believe that Christ died for my sins. And people that think, well, you got to be good enough to get to heaven, that's... human thinking. It's idealistic, but it doesn't ever, ever happen. Nobody is as good as God, which is the requirement. And yet, with the righteousness of God imputed to believers, God does see us as Christ's righteousness. Amen? All right. Set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders as the steward of God. Okay, let's go on and try to look at a few other things before we have to close. In Romans 15, verse 25, we saw, but now I go into Jerusalem to minister unto the saints, or to dole out, to hand out, serve up. Minister means to serve, or to serve up as a waiter serves up the dinner for the people he's waiting on. Verse 26 in Romans 15, it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. 1 Corinthians 16:3, and when I come, whomsoever you shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberality to Jerusalem. There's Jerusalem named again. We'll see that this is an early reference to elders before they were named as such, the ones that would bring the whomsoever you shall approve by your letters, them will I send with your to bring your liberality. So they're the ones that carry it across country, across the sea to Jerusalem, the elders. In Acts 20, verse 28, Paul's talking to those named as elders, coming down from Miletus that we saw in verse 17, from the body of Christ church, coming down to Miletus from Ephesus. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock. And this is that definition of what the elders are there for, what they do. Take heed unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. In verse 35, I have shown you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. 2 Corinthians 9, verses 10, 11, 9, 2 Corinthians 9, 9 through at least 13, 15, 16. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad and hath given to the poor. His righteousness remaineth forever. So Paul's quoting a scripture that he applied it to their situation there. Verse 10, now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Doing the right thing to give, in other words. And the Lord will pay you back, is basically what he's saying. Verse 12, for the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, and that's like what he says in Titus 1, verse 7, I think it was, what is lacking, the want, the need of the saints, it but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Going to verse 13, 2 Corinthians 9, 13, whilst by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution unto them and to all men. We're going to go down to 15, verse 15. 1 Corinthians 16, 15. That's a different book. I didn't see the change from a 2 to a 1 in my notes there. So we're going to look in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 15 and 16. I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, serving what those saints in Jerusalem needed, in other words. That you submit yourselves unto such, and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. He's talking about getting the money to the saints in Jerusalem, and I don't see here any I think there's holes in the argument that this is talking about leadership in the church. It's talking about following their example of giving. It's talking about giving is the subject here, I think. Submit yourselves unto such. You should uniformly throughout your assembly be giving, is what he's saying. So from the beginning, in the beginning, aid was given by Antioch of Syria, to Jerusalem. And we saw that at the beginning. Let's look at the verses, Acts 11, verses 27 through 30. Excuse me just a minute, please, if I can find the mute button here. Okay. And in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. Those prophets were prophecy program prophets, not body of Christ prophets. Verse 28, and there stood up one of them, named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Verse 29, then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. Those elders were Israel's elders in the Church of God in Jerusalem, not Body of Christ elders that we see defined in Acts 20:28. Looking at the end of that incident, there's some things that go on with Peter, and then if you look down in Acts 12, verse 25, you see the end of that sending when they sent the funds to Jerusalem. And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry and took with them John, whose surname was Mark. Next we'll look at Galatia and their giving to Jerusalem. Acts 14:21. Keyboard is dying. Oh, sorry to hear that. Try disconnecting the keyboard and plugging it back in. That's a good idea. Acts 14:21, and when they had preached the gospel to them in that preached the gospel to that city, talking about Derbe, and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra, where Paul had been stoned, but he came back to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch of Pisidia. Verse 22 in Acts 14, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that through much tribulation enter in. I messed that up. I'm sorry, I'm goofing it up so much tonight. And that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Now, that's the overall rulership of God throughout the universe. That's the kingdom of God, not just the kingdom that comes out of heaven to earth that was promised to Israel. That Christ talked about, that was at hand in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's the kingdom out of heaven coming to earth. It's called the kingdom of heaven in Matthew. It's also called the kingdom of God because it is God's kingdom, part of God's kingdom. But we're translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. That would be the overall kingdom of God, not to the kingdom coming out of heaven to earth. So that was Acts 14:23, and when they had ordained them elders in every city and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. Why do you think they fasted there? I think it has something to do with the purpose of elders in getting food for those starving disciples in Jerusalem. So let's look in Galatians, the book of Galatians, the letter to those Galatians. We're still in the section talking about Galatia's giving to Jerusalem. This is chapter 2, verses 9 and 10 in Galatians. And when James, Cephas, which is another name for Peter, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. And we see that not only in Acts, in the trail that they went, but we see it in their writings too, that they go to the 12 apostles went to the circumcision in their writings, and Paul to all people after the all man sending. So going on to verse 10, only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I also was forward to do. I like that word forward. We don't use it much in that sense, but it's an advancement, a progress. He's pushing toward that, in other words, toward helping the believers in Jerusalem. The poor, that's That's their poor, the poor in the Church of God in Jerusalem. We'll close after this fourth one here. The aid from Thessalonica, which is in Macedonia, that they sent to Jerusalem. And it's one verse, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 14. Oh, gotta go. Good evening. 1 Thessalonians 5:14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. So that's the supporting the weak is what he's talking about. I've got a note here. Let me just add one more verse. I'm not sure what it is. It's 1 Corinthians 8:11, and I don't think we covered that before. Let me just post it up here. And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died. Talking about people that flaunt their liberty and you know, eat meat offered to idols in front of the Jews that were meeting with them in Paul's meeting. Do all things to edify. Not all things are expedient, in other words. That's what he was talking about. So support the weak. Those weak were the Jews they were weak in the sense that they weren't saved yet. They were believers. They were keepers of the law, and they believed that Jesus was the Messiah, but they had to endure to the end. That was part of it. They couldn't deny the Lord in the tribulation and make it as part of the kingdom. All right, that's the first four that we've gone through, and we'll pick up again hopefully tomorrow. Thank you all for coming in. And it's time for questions.